episode 358. I'm your host, Hector. Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that dives into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more. And on this episode, I welcome first-time guests Cassie Simpson and Lance Kane. I came to know both of them through their stand-up comedy. Open mic nights at the Wakery, downtown Springfield. Cassie hosts the open mic night there every second Sunday of the month. Lance Kane hosts the open mic nights at the Anvil and Forge, also here in Springfield, Illinois. Both awesome spots. I found both of them very jovial, very sweet, and super funny, and I couldn't wait to have them on, and they were kind enough to agree to be on. So I really enjoyed this episode. I'm very happy with the way it turned out. To tease it a little bit, I do pit both of them against each other in a spirited round of the Mind Grenade music game. That was a lot of fun. I'm glad they indulged me in that. And, you know, I do give them an opportunity to hype their upcoming shows. So we do that on the recording. But if you miss it, it's all in the show notes, all that information. So just check it out there. So I won't keep you waiting any longer. Enjoy this episode of the Mind Grenade podcast. Yeah, I went to the Wakery once because I had been to that coffee shop a couple times because the novelty of it being open late till 1 in the morning and only serving
mocktails and coffee.
Yeah,
and all that.
It's a nice alternative to all the other spots. It's like I've heard this before where it's like if every restaurant in town is a Mexican restaurant. I lived in Arizona. If all the restaurants are Mexican, then put an Italian joint somewhere in there because then it'll, you know, people will show up to that too.
Options, yeah, absolutely.
So I like the Wakery, and I found out about the open mic. How long is that? Has that been
it's
since
been
early?
Going on since July?
Okay,
yeah,
that's you. It's you and Ryan, kind of
Ryan Thorson and
me. Yeah. I found out it's every second.
It's the second Sunday of every month.
Every month. And I caught you at one that you weren't at, Cassie. But then I caught the next one where you were both.
Okay. Yeah. So that's probably the one I headlined, kind of.
So my experience, I talked about it on the podcast before, because it was like, it seemed like it was like 10 people, including Ryan and yourself.
That went up, you mean?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it was a
mix. That
sounds
reasonable. Sure.
Yeah. It was a mix of you seem like you've had enough experience with it. But
thank you. Yeah.
But there was people that just seemed like they just walked up for the first time.
Anything can happen in an open mic. Yeah. Anybody can walk in and sign up.
Right, it's the open mic.
I love when new people come up. They're like, it's like the first time ever.
Yeah,
sure, it's great.
It's a welcoming environment.
Yeah,
too,
I felt that.
I think the sober environment too is
nice. Okay, I didn't consider that either.
There's no drunken hecklers. We'll have a heckler. I need one. I'm waiting for mine.
We'll get you there. I think what's funny is I wanted to start an all ages show at what is that place called? There's a tea only place on
downtown or
is
it the record shop
that's downtown? No. Are you talking about Dumb Records?
No.
I know Dumb Records Wimsey Tea.
Okay,
so I met with their owner and we had there was a 16-year-old comedian who started at my mic at Anvil. She was good out the gate. She's very smart. Got comedy more than some people do, like a year in. You've seen her, right? She's pretty good.
She headlined
your guys' stuff. Yeah. So she was asking me where other open mics were, and this is pre even the Wakery being here. So it was only the mic I run at Anvil and Forge and the one that Larry Smith runs at Buzzbomb, which only happens once a month and kind of sporadically, or like which Thursday it's going to be, is what they give them, what they give him pretty much.
Okay.
I think it's mostly on the last Thursday, but. You know, you got to be following him to find out when it's happening. And I was going to get her to host a show at Wimsey Tea. Same idea, all ages. She's under 21, makes it easier for her. And if there are other people under 21 who want to come try comedy, that'd be great. So I think it's awesome that you guys, you know, set up shop at the Wakery. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, no, but I like that, that it's, I could tell there's people at different stages of their comedy writing and stuff like that. But I mean, bravo to the people. I mean, you know, speaking in public,
sure,
people
hear it a lot for sure. Definitely.
It's a big fear.
I could never do that kind of thing.
Then I was like, let's do stand up comedy.
Mm-hmm. That's practical. Have you guys done a lot of, is this your guys' first podcast for talking about your comedy?
Mine, yes, but weren't you on Ainsley's?
Ainsley?
Ainsley, remember?
That was NPR. That was
NPR.
Okay. I was going to ask, a radio or podcast spots and stuff.
I did an NPR spot a few months ago just to talk about, it was both about the Anvil & Forge mic and my comedy and some other things they found out about me. But like, all good.
Yeah.
I mean, subjectively, objectively.
Like the virtual comedy.
I do virtual reality comedy to kind of supplement.
Yeah.
What, because there's not many mics here and I have a 3-year-old and so I'm not traveling too much to do comedy right now. So one of the comics in town told me but they were doing virtual reality comedy. So I was like, I'll give it a try. And it works. It gives you what you need. It gives you feedback.
Yeah. Right.
You just need laughter or no laughter from people.
Right.
And so it puts you in a virtual room with them and it's pretty good.
Bounce stuff
surprisingly
off
good.
A crowd. That's awesome. Yeah. Because that was the thing with when the pandemic hit.
Sure.
And more podcasts were launched around that area.
Of course.
And talking about earlier about comedians with their podcasts. I mean, every comedian now seems to have one because you, I guess ideally you want the performing live, but you also want to let people know that you're performing live. So there's your Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything else, but also podcasts. You can like grow a community, grow a fan base.
Absolutely.
Doing a podcast that you can let them know where you're going to be at performing live.
Sure.
So it's kind of the whole thing there. But yeah, there is a big NPR here in town. There's another podcast group that kind of came up when I started this.
Sure.
Front Row Movie Review. I think it's I don't know if they still go by that name or not, but those guys have always been supportive of this podcast. So, but they're somehow associated with the NPR kind of here in town. Mm-hmm. But Cassie, have you done any kind of radio spots or anything like that? No. Mm-mm. I know those comedians will make fun of the touring the country or whatever and having to do those morning shows. And,
Radio's kind of a different animal though. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little more canned sometimes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's where some unintentional comedy can come out of.
Right. They might want you to do your bits. They were like, do a joke for us right now. It's like the context is terrible. Like, dude, I'm going to do it over the radio, have no idea whether there's feedback or not. You're going to look at me like I'm dumb. Like, it's just, you know, like you're supposed to be funny. Why aren't you being funny? You're killing me here, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's super interesting with the virtual comedy. Because, you need the feedback's really how you can tell.
Only way.
Yeah, because sometimes you're going out on a limb and you need somebody to either pull you back a little bit maybe I can keep going forward with this premise.
You don't know what's funny without the audience. You know what you think is funny, but you have to figure out how to convey that to them, like get them in your brain pretty much.
Yeah.
Because, and so without that feedback, like, for example, I'll maybe write a joke and I'm like, this part of the joke is going to kill. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. And then I'll laugh two words later, two words before that. And you're like, oh no, this is the punchline.
Not that.
And you just work around that kind of.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
there's another similar thing around here, like actually in person. I think it's called Make Us Laugh. And I don't know if you've done it, but
it's a local podcast.
It's not a podcast. It's like you actually go and perform your like open mic essentially. In front of a few comedians, I guess they have some experience and they give you feedback right then. But they also kind of like help you with your jokes too. They're like, you should play more up on this. I just haven't been able to make it to one.
Sounds like a more friendly Kill Tony.
Yes.
Ever seen that.
Yeah. I Yeah, I'm not sure where that is. I think I've heard it before, Make Us Laugh. Maybe you mentioned it to me, but I haven't heard it personally. I'll have to check it out.
I've seen it.
Go to it, whatever it is. Yeah.
Following you guys on social media and stuff, I noticed a lot of trying to make it to different spots and stuff like that.
Sure, sure.
Getting in front of different crowds, like when you're workshopping stuff, sure that's helpful.
Absolutely.
What are some spots you guys have been recently? The year just ended in 2023, but this last year, any spots that kind of stick out to you that are venues that you hope to go back to? You had a good time at? I know, Cassie, I think you just recently went to a competition.
Yeah. Last night.
Yeah.
It was at the Rusty Fox in Sterling, mm-hmm. so about 3 hours away.
Yeah.
It was for amateur comedians. I really liked it. It was a new venue for me. It's more of like a wine bar.
Okay.
Like their appetizer was like crackers and jam. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Luckily, I went like 9th out of 10, so I could see
what
the audience was reacting to. Because if I would have gone with completely vulgar,
right,
beginning, it's kind of difficult.
Mm.
But
yeah.
They were all warmed up, and it was fun. I didn't place, but it was really fun.
When I saw you, I've only seen you once, Cassie. You started out speaking of vulgar. You started out. Pretty vulgar-ish, because I think everybody else was going that.
Like coming in hot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Cassie, you followed suit.
Yes. Just did the thing. Yeah.
But was what I caught, what I thought was funny or interesting was then, like, I think your third or fourth joke was like, I can't believe I'm going to say this. And then you'd already said some pretty vulgar shit already.
Right.
So I just thought it was funny that you were like, I don't know. I can't believe I'm going to say this. But it's like, you just started out with like diarrhea or something.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I should have turned off my phone. No, that was a good group there. When I, was it the same night? It might have been the night I saw you first, Lance. The age range was like there was an older woman there. She was like, she looked like she was in her 60s, but she brought it.
Oh, and, probably Kathy Brennan, if I were to guess. She's very funny.
The confidence and had.
Sure. Yeah.
You could tell she worked on her jokes. And
oh, sure. I know she's done some like speech training and stuff too, like public speaking training.
Yeah.
Was it Roastmasters Club or something like the Toastmasters Club? That's what it is.
Okay.
I think maybe that's it. I don't want to misrepresent her. Why I'm telling her stuff. But she's very nice and very funny.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to jump around a little bit and get to know you guys more for the listeners to get to know you guys more.
Absolutely.
This is a pop culture podcast, and we talk about music and movies and TV and everything, entertainment wise.
What do you find if I get a glass of water?
Oh, you know, boy, I am the rudest host. Oh, no. The refrigerator right there. I try to have that in my notes here. There's water, coffee. There's soda in there. Just help yourself. And
thank you so much.
Yourself, Lance.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm really proud of out of the podcast when I have guests on is asking guests their favorite band or musician. But there's going to be two answers to this question. There's the band or musician that was big before you were born. So for me, Pink Floyd, they had blown up before I was born in 77. And the band, favorite band after you were born. And usually the after people are going to go with when they were in their teens, right? That's usually when you become obsessed with you know, music and stuff. For me, my teenage years was Radiohead, and it still holds to today.
Fair.
So, Lance, I'll start with you. What's your favorite band or musician prior to you being born and then after?
So I'm the worst person to ask about favorites because I hate picking them. But off top of my head, I would say prior would be Queen. Just incredible. You know, like
not a bad choice.
I'm jealous of anybody who got to see them in person.
Yeah.
Post, I think this might be a little like from when they started the band. Like it might have been 2 years before I was born technically. But they weren't big till the 90s and then 2000s. NOFX. I like skate punk. Pretty much anything that you're going to find on like a Tony Hawk soundtrack is what I listen to because I grew up right in that era.
Yes.
I was in like 8th grade, 7th grade when that came out.
Yeah.
And we all started skateboarding and it was brought on by that. And there was a giant explosion of skateboarding during that decade from the Tony Hawk games. And so like also influenced like where my music taste went, starting with like Metallica when I was in like high school. And then I evolved to different things.
I love that era of where discovering music through video games was a thing.
Sure. Skate videos was a cool place too. But
what was they just came out with the sequel to it just recently. The sandbox game where you got to commit crimes. I can't think of it now. Anyway, I'll think of it here shortly. But there was there was that era with like sports games, especially Tony Hawk, where like you're like, oh, I like that band. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that's one of the biggest video games ever, and I can't think of the name of it.
Well, it's funny because I do virtual reality comedy, but I play zero video games.
Okay.
I am not a video game person. We were poor, never had the consoles, you know, like we were always a few behind. So like, and then my mom would also sell them. So like, it was like, I never got good enough at anything to keep playing it. So now it doesn't hold my attention. That attention span.
So
you're
sad.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm pushing 40. I'm not too worried about what my mom did when I was, that's for my therapist. All right?
Well, I played the Sega, and I still remember AC.
Love Sega, sure.
Was Jump Kick for Streets of Rage.
Oh,
yeah. I would play all the time.
I was a Sega person as well. I have plenty.
Jump Kick the whole game.
Yeah.
I have plenty of love for Nintendo, but Grand Theft Auto is what I couldn't think of. Yes. Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
But yeah, they'd have the, you jump into, you carjack somebody, take their car, and then
Much fun.
And it's and a video music. Game with like actual music. But yeah, I discovered some bands. That's one of, because I'm always like the beginning of the year, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna discover some new music that I haven't listened to before. But it's so hard to do. Like,
the older you get too, like the more you're like, I just want to listen to what I have.
Yes,
you
know, exactly.
Like, and then you're losing touch a little bit, but like maybe I can bring it back as vintage later. You know?
Yes. Yeah. The Best Buys, I guess, just stopped. I don't know when they stopped having CDs. I bought a CD in forever, but they stopped having DVDs and Blu-rays. I guess that was the big news for Best Buy. But I remember in the era of the CD, going into a store and just having money to spend. And you walk in and then you're just overwhelmed with the choices. You're like, where do I start?
Absolutely.
So it's kind of that when I'm the beginning of the year, I want to find some new music. Music for me is like, and I brought this up on the podcast before, it's like when I was 16 and 17, discovering bands and just being, and just obsessing over whatever, an Alice in Chains CD or whatever. To me, it's chasing that dragon. I'm still wanting that. To be obsessed with a new band or a new musician. This past year, it happened for me, and it hasn't happened in a while, which was Danny Brown, and people listening probably tired of me talking about this, but Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia just came out with an album called Scaring the Hoes.
I heard you talk about it actually.
Oh, did you? Okay, you're already, you guys are already tired of hearing this.
Oh, not at all. I'm just saying, I remember that because I remember the JPEG particularly stood out to me, obviously.
Yeah. Nonstop, I've been listening to it this past year.
That's awesome. When you find it, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, you know, like joking about being poor, I had a little CD booklet that like I carried around with me on my skateboard, and that was like my treasure, you know, because I didn't have much else. So like I'm going from friend's house to friend's house, and it got stolen at some point. But, you know, I replenished it. I was getting older.
Cassie, how about you? Before you were born and after?
I don't know if before I was born. I was born in 85, so I guess maybe I didn't listen to them until now.
Yeah.
Like, headbanger bands like Whitesnake and AC/DC and just all those kinds of today I listen to everything, like I listen to Post Malone, Lil Nas X, and then I like Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
So every year you're looking forward to the
I went to see the Christmas tribute band with my daughter,
and they have a tribute. I didn't realize they had a tribute band.
I don't
What are they called? What is just the tribute to?
I think it was just called tribute.
Yeah.
Well, first I thought it was the real one. I was like, where are all the other instruments?
Oh.
But,
but
no, it was really cool. And my daughter, she's 8. She came with, and she was mesmerized. So was I. With like, they have really good lighting and visuals and sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sounds fun.
One of the things on the podcast that I haven't done in a while is the Mind Grenade music game. And I'm going to pitch you guys against each other to the death.
Okay.
So whoever wins has to kill the other person. Mm. So the Mind Grenade music game is, it's guessing the year a track dropped. So I've picked 5 songs.
Okay.
And I spread them out from, I think on this one, it doesn't go as early as the 60s and as recent as last year.
Fair enough.
So it's 5 bands, and you're supposed to guess the year the song dropped. And a couple of these songs are from before you guys were born, before I was born.
Sure.
So you just have to kind of like, pinpoint by just, there's different ways to kind of calculate it in your brain.
Sure.
But
are we getting like a Price is Right, like who's closest
kind of thing? Yes, exactly. Right. So there's golf scoring.
Sure.
So the closer you get,
yeah. I'm going to set a record for farthest away because I'm terrible at things like this, for sure.
Yeah, so you'll have to wrestle.
If I was listening to this, I would know the answers, but not actually doing this. If I was like...
Oh, like you're hearing someone else.
Like, why didn't she answer?
Yeah, but yeah, on the spot, you're like, spot, no, too much pressure. Yeah.
My co-host Ian has the record for... biggest score, so he's not
like most dead on.
No.
Oh, the far the part.
Yeah,
all right,
so, yeah.
I'm gonna take him and down today.
Yeah, right.
Suck it, Ian, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Now.
So
I want that out there in the universe.
Yeah, he's a good sport. He can take it.
I'm just kidding.
He admits too that he's not a music person, and I get that.
Oh, fair.
But this is just for fun. We're just doing this for the podcast. It'll foster conversation as we go.
By the way, swearing.
Yes. No.
Okay.
Fuck
on the
it,
podcast. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just making sure. You mentioned vulgarity earlier, and I just wanted to make sure before you don't have to do a lot of extra editing or
no.
Like that.
The last time, the time I caught you, Cassie, at the Wakery, everybody was like, it seemed like they were trying to like out vulgar.
Yeah.
It happens.
Like
for
early,
sure.
Like, when I walked in, I was like, holy shit, which I.
Jarring. Yeah, yeah.
It's just when you're walking into it, you're like, whoa, hello.
Yeah. Oh,
when you're not expecting it. Yeah.
I feel bad about it, but it's also one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
You know, like
I love.
Someone like walks into a bar or something. I'm doing a joke about my dog's dick. You know, like it's
right,
like that's going to be confusing to walk into.
When you're first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. I got that image in my head now. Thanks.
I do what I can.
Yeah. So like I said, you want to get closest. So if the song was released in 1990, but you guessed 1992, so that's a plus 2. Yeah.
Okay, so you have a point system then. Okay.
This is serious.
Yeah. All right. So let's see here. So I'll play the song. I'll give the title and the artist, and you guys will write down your guess.
Okay, great.
But then don't announce your guess till prompt you to.
So there's 5?
There's 5.
There's a good chance I'm not going to know the artist's name, nonetheless, the year that it came out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay, what else do I need for this game? Let's see here. There's a theme across all 5 songs that I'll reveal at the end of the game.
Okay.
This one was tough for me, too, because I've done this so many times that I've run out of themes to come up with, so I kept, like, trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Peace up, A-Town Dad.
All right. So, this is Usher featuring Lil Jon and Ludacris. And the title of the song is Yeah. This song came out around that era we were talking about a moment ago, which is, I think this was on like SS Tricky, one of these like snowboarding games.
Sure.
And the ringing, where is it? Right there.
Mm.
This is kind of where people still had landlines.
Oh,
so this
sure.
would fuck me up. I would think that there was a phone ringing in the background. I was like, no, it's in the game.
Yeah.
Let's a bit of a hint of which era it is.
Sure.
So. Good. I like this era of rap music, actually. This is around the time when, like, Nelly. Yeah, Nelly, Outkast was in that era.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and Outkast just released a new album, apparently great. I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's crazy that they were as big as they were,
mm-hmm.
and then
didn't do anything for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens, right?
Yeah,
I don't know the reasoning, but yeah,
right. And it can be a number of things. It can be they were just done for a while,
or producing and working in other groups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, or they hated each other. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
specific
yeah.
to these guys, but so
yeah, it's right. like. You guys want to get together again? Hey, nah.
We're yeah.
do that.
Nah. Yeah. All right. So, Cassie, what do you think? Do you have a score? Do you have a year yet?
Or? 2006.
Okay. Lance, what do you think?
2002.
Ooh.
I originally said 2003.
Okay. All right, guys. It is... Yeah, by Usher. It's 2004.
Right between us.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're two over, I'm two under.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was going to be exactly what happened when you said 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are plus two. Yeah. All right.
Is this golf scoring?
Yeah. So you're away. Yeah. So okay. On either side, you're going to gain.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Oh, and then I wanted to mention, too, that if anybody gets dead on,
mm-hmm.
you get a... an extra minus two. So
okay,
it'll take
nice.
Points off if you get a
good
dead
to
on.
Know.
All right, so our next song here, let's see here. That ringing out of my ear there. This actually played on a commercial for Grand Theft Auto back in the day. And that'll throw people off on this game too. Is like, if it's, this is, by the way, I Ran So Far Away by A Flock of Seagulls. Sometimes a song will become popular in a movie or in a video game years after the song had been released.
Yeah.
So that's something you consider. Flock of Seagulls. That's like, I don't want to give away the.
Yeah, I get you. I got an idea, but I think
yeah.
it can be from
right
any time in that era. So.
Yeah, yeah. I like. Like I said, I was born in the late 70s.
Right, so early years in the 80s, and then.
And yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Now, when I was growing up in the 80s. Radio was more of a thing then,
of
not
course,
like today,
yeah.
but like
even 90s, 2000s, yeah,
exactly,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at that young age, you're still trying to figure out what's good. Actually,
I love that era. I love that yeah. era of like you're listening what your parents listen to.
Exactly,
you're figuring things out. Like I have a joke where I talk about how like you probably listen to some pretty shitty music when you're starting out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff you'll make fun of later, but then you might even come back around to that,
yeah.
even later than that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So you never know. Less pretentious than you were. I was very
like,
elitist as a teen.
Oh, I used to think like the 80s music was like funny, haha. Now it's like, oh my gosh, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, so, you were talking about Whitesnake and everything
yeah.
like
yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah.
like real.
Well,
like,
well,
glam
see,
rock,
that's,
metal.
That's
yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the thing with like that genre in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to make fun of the hair bands and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the trick was to sift out who the actual good ones were, like
sure.
over time, like what you were saying, Lance, with the. Yeah, at some point you've developed enough
of an opinion,
of
pretty
yeah,
much. Yeah,
critical
yeah.
ear, where
yeah.
you're like, oh no, Guns N' Roses was actually really good on top
oh,
of
right.
being part of that genre, where there's a lot of that, and not all of it needs to be taken seriously. You can
oh,
music
of course.
To be have
yeah,
fun
yeah.
with, but like if you're just like applying your critical ear, in the 80s, there was a lot of those bands. There's a lot. Being thrown at you.
Sure.
And you're like, well, if this isn't on the radio, it has to be good because it's not necessarily.
Right.
Because, you know, I think with radio and just about with anything, it's you can see with movies these days, it's
mm-hmm.
like they're just putting stuff out to get, you know, that box office money.
Absolutely.
And yeah, they're going to follow trends. But what do you guys think? Iran, So Far Away by The Flock of Seagulls. With the most 80s sounding band name.
Sure.
I said 1989.
Okay.
I went 83. Yeah.
All right. Flock of Seagulls song was released in 1982.
Oh.
It was early, so.
I got lucky, honestly. I just, someone, sometime in the decade, I was like, yeah. The reason I wouldn't pick like an 89 is because I would think like, what it made me think of immediately is The Wedding Singer. There's a scene where he goes up to in the airport and he's like, there, the guy's got the Flock of Seagull haircut. And he's like, do you like Flock of Seagulls? And he's like, no, but I see you do. So when they're depicting the 80s, I don't think of them as depicting something late in the era, you know, like,
okay.
that's why I went with 83.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
You don't have to make me feel better. It's fine.
Oh no, I was just
the internal
showing
math.
How I crushed you is what I was doing. Yeah,
just
explain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pull out the marker board. And,
right.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
All right. So our next song, let's see here. Oh shit. Changing up the genre a little bit.
I was just thinking of Shania Twain.
Changing up the genre here. She was, when she, speaking of Outkast being huge when they were in their heyday, Shania Twain.
Oh, yeah.
She's still.
Doesn't she have a residency still? Or is that.
I'm sure she's still
in Las
great.
Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the peak of Shania Twain, she was fucking. But sure. Okay, I realized recently that she's Canadian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, is that. That cultural appropriation, what are you doing coming
way?
Into?
Because she's doing like country music?
Country music, which is usually an American.
Appropriate the white people all you want, though. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't
take from the takers, pretty much.
The colonists, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Colonizers, yeah, yeah.
But she's one of the top country
artists
ever.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm from Pleasant Plain, so mm-hmm. I grew up with a bunch of country people, and they'd be blasting country music, and that was the thing. And then I grew up, and I'm like, I don't like country music. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then now I like some. So it just depends.
So I'll listen to some old country western or something like that, and it's almost like a trope, a generic thing to say that you don't like pop country anymore.
Right, right, right.
But I don't, and my references are even outdated because it would have been from like the 2000s when I would say something like my tractor's sexy or something like that. Like I get that that's funny, but like there's a whole genre of music like that that plays at like the Cracker Barrel that you know, like I don't love. It's very generic. It's very. Like, they just say what I'm a truck driving tractor, you know, like dog loving, corn eating American. Or it's like, can you use some metaphors, some similes? Can you do anything like any work here?
Yeah. And it's just like what we were saying before, there are the gems in the rough. There's,
oh, of course,
actual,
yeah. I don't like Johnny Cash. People will kill me over that. I don't get into him. I didn't like him as a person from everything that I saw about him.
Yeah.
Seemed like kind of a jerk. We were homies, you know, like.
Yeah, but besides. Yeah. But his music, yes.
No, I told him all the time.
To me, I try not to. I do definitely have genres that I lean more towards, but I try to be open to.
Sure.
I don't try to disqualify just because of the genre.
Getting older and making anything. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, please.
Getting older and making anything yourself.
Yes.
Really kind of takes that out of like where you want to be mean to everybody, no matter what they're making. It's like, hey, that was probably hard in some way. That was probably, you know, like, and even the people that you're like, it's just a money grab.
Yes.
If you can get it. I don't care. There's no selling out to me anymore. As long as you're not standing on the necks of other people to get there.
I'm
if
right
that
there
makes
with
sense.
You.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you. I was at work one night and, don't hate, like, people will be like, oh, you hate Taylor Swift. I'm like, I don't hate Taylor Swift at all. I think she's fucking talented. Like,
number one,
last year she had one of her biggest years ever.
Still got to be able to sing, and the performance that I'm sure are amazing. Like, if someone gave me a ticket, I would absolutely go and watch it. I don't know any of her songs except for, like, that Shake It Off song, but, like, I would still go watch, you know.
But I like, if there's a joke right there, I'm going to make it, you know. Uh-huh. Like, the people who get their feelings hurt because somebody makes fun of their favorite band or whatever.
Of course,
like, it's like, don't take it personally. It's not like...
It's subjective.
For sure. Like, if somebody made fun of my favorite band, I'd be like, it's fine. I'm not I don't need other people's approval to like sure. what I like. Yeah. And one night we were hanging out at work, and one of my colleagues, knowing that one of the other colleagues that was nearby is a big Swiftie.
Oh, sure.
And colleague A asked me, waiting for me to start talking trash about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And he was like, if there was one musician that you could like, or one song that you can make disappear. And I'm not like that. Like mm-hmm. everybody, even if I don't like it, even if
you have your space, everybody has their space.
Yeah. I wouldn't want anybody, you know, infringing, impinging on me. Like what
might be important as an artist. Somebody else.
Yeah. So I don't care. I think somebody brought up that was nearby. They brought up like an Oasis song or something like, and they're punching bags.
Just is that the like, Wonderwall band.
Yeah. Like Nickelback. They're punching bags. I get it. Like I'll make a Nickelback joke.
Yeah.
But I will never be like, I wish that song never existed.
Right.
Like I'm not going to go that far. I'll make fun of, like with Taylor Swift, I respect where she's gotten to.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make fun of the Swifties because they'll lose their shit if you even say anything bad about. Like, right. You shouldn't take it that seriously.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
But
bases are weird, right? Like, people can get so connected to things that isn't theirs, or like identifying with this band or whatever, because the way it makes them feel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me feel the same way, and I make fun of it and you're upset. That is a bummer, but what can you do? I don't know.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? I think Cassie, I saw, was quick to...
I said 1995.
And I said 92.
Oh, shit, son. 1995 was the year.
Look at you, yeah.
So Cassie got a minus.
I don't know. What was the name of that song?
Whose bed have your boots been under?
That's a long name. I'm not writing that down. Get it together, Shania.
Are you writing down the names?
Just so I remember what I'm looking at. I have and Iran. I mean, those are short. I'm just going to put boots here. Boots in bed.
All right, so we're getting down to it. We've got two songs left. All right, let's do this. Help, I need somebody. Help, the audio on this podcast is going to be all on me, but here we go. When I was young, so much young, I take it we all recognize the band, the Eagles.
Mother would play this on any family trip.
Yeah, I love the Beagles. Yeah.
John Denver. I'm a big Lana Del Rey fan, and she just covered one of his songs. The Beatles, this song, Help, obviously, is what I would say if I ever got on an open mic. It would be the first thing I would say is Help! ! Nice. But a big Beatles fan. You know, one of the things I like about the Beatles too is that generationally, they're making new fans every generation.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, it's one of those things where they're like, it's so simplistic, but
mm-hmm. Well, and an anomaly. Like to be that huge, not many things are ever as big as something like the Beatles, right? And mm-hmm. I don't go out of my way to listen to the Beatles, but I can respect what they've done, like everything that they've. You know, like, there are bands that I don't like, but I'd be like, but that band influenced something that I love, you know? So, like, and I don't dislike the Beatles. I like the Beatles. I just don't go out of my way. It's not, like, what gets my heart pumping. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'd say they're pretty much family friendly, too. Like, you know, we played it on all road that, trips when I was a kid.
LSD and everything else. Yeah. From what you see on the radio, absolutely. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
They did have that kind of split. And what's crazy, this will help the game out a little bit, but they were
change my answer.
They were pretty much within one decade when they were at their when they were active, when they were still making music. It's all within a decade, which is crazy because I mean they've, like you were saying, like they've impacted more than just music, like it's the culture, movies, everything and else.
This is where I am bad, because like I understand the decade you're talking about, but it could have I could be off. Like, I mix them up, like, some of the isms of different decades, you know? Like is that 50s or is that 70s? Yeah, is that 60s? Yeah. Is it, like...
Or and, is that right on the end?
Oh, yeah, sure. Like you said, like, 89 or something, like, for one of the things, like... Things that are like
embarrassing.
No. I like, but I mean, like, something from 89 might be what people are thinking about in 90s because, like, exactly, things for the 90s will be like that.
Yeah, it doesn't just automatically shit just shifts.
Right.
Yeah.
Or something from 99, you'd be like, yeah, that happened probably like 2003. It's like, no, it's 99. It's like, it is the 90s, but it's the same little chasm of changing decades.
Yeah.
Little chasm doesn't make sense, but you get what I'm saying.
What do you guys think? Help by the Beatles.
I put 64.
I put 63.
Okay. And, 1965 is when that one dropped. So, plus two and plus one.
I just want to point out that my family did not play this on road trips, so.
Your family is sad.
Yeah, that's true. That's like very true.
Getting nasty up in here.
Neither do I, so, you know, we have that in common.
I don't even know your family, but it just sounds sad.
Me either, so, you know, like, we're just...
My folks... my folks were... but I do get that. The it's like with food. Like, you know, like, when I eat... my parents, Puerto Rican. I went to Chicago recently, and they had Puerto Rican restaurants up there. And I went out of my way, and I had some food there. And it instantly took me back to my parents' cooking.
So it's similar. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same with music. Like,
sure.
But the reason I bring it up is because, like, my parents listened to Spanish music growing up. So I'll hear a Spanish song here and there, and it'll kind of take me there. But for the most part, they didn't pass down.
Right.
You know, like, me being a big fan of Pink Floyd or the Beatles, I didn't get that from my parents.
Sure.
I had to go seek that out.
You found it yourself.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Also, your podcast isn't open with Spanish music. You know what I mean? Like, so you didn't completely take that either, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I do. It's funny. I'm trying to think. I think Beastie Boys does this or did this. But there's other bands that'll sample old classical.
Of course,
JPEG actually did this recently on that album I was talking about, where they sample old Spanish songs that, as Americans, we wouldn't be exposed to.
Maybe they were huge there.
Yeah. They heard it somewhere and was like, ooh, that would be great for this song. And I've had a couple instances where I played a Beastie Boys song and my dad goes, hey,
They
sampled that from some old, and I was like, whoa. So
for me, that would be covers. Like, you hear a cover and you don't know it's a cover.
Yes.
And then someone older is like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, whoever. But you're like, oh, really? I thought they wrote this song. And I'm loyal to the first one I heard most of the time. So, like, I'll be like, I still like the cover better. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Last song. All right. Here we go. We were just talking about this group.
I play this every time I pick up a bass guitar.
Yeah. Do you play?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm in that band, actually.
Okay. See here, obviously this is Outkast, So Fresh and So Clean, Andre 3000, and Big Boy. Atlanta, I think? Going back to, I mean, how I got to know you guys through comedy and stuff.
It's so funny for me to hear, because I've only been doing comedy since like April this year.
Really? Wow.
It's like, oh,
man, I'm so impressed. Like, I mean, impressed the comedy writing, but also, like we said earlier, the speaking in public and stuff like that. It's, there's more surgeons in the world than there are stand-up comedians. And I bring this up to fuck with people at work, because I'm not working there now, but I worked at a hospital.
Sure.
Yeah. So I just like kind of people are a little too like proud of their
Being surgeons, you mean? You like messing with them?
Yeah.
You're not as elite as you think.
Yeah. Right. Medical professionals. And I'm like, well, you know, like, when they make a list of like things that most people are afraid of, it's usually number one is speaking to public. It's not being a surgeon and cutting, which I don't know if I'd be able to do.
But maybe not thinking about that as much though.
But it never ends up on a list of most things people are most afraid of. It's usually like heights or speaking in public.
But public speaking can happen really easily, like doing surgery. Unless it's a 90s movie where you're like, you're going to do a tracheotomy on a bus and put a straw through it so they can breathe. It's like every 90s action movie ever.
Yeah.
What did you do with the hospital?
I was worked in the pharmacy. I'm a pharmacy technician.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I did that.
Well, now, do they have their own pharmacy, or is it like a Walgreens in the?
No, it's they had one. They finally moved to the first floor, but we were in the basement there for the longest time.
So fun.
It's fun. It was, you know, it's a good job, but
it was a job. It sounds like it.
Overall, good experience there. I left there amicably and. My two co-hosts are pharmacists that work there.
Fair enough.
I would let them boss me around. I'm a technician, and they were the pharmacists at the pharmacy. But when on the podcast, I would boss them around.
So it's funny. I have a lot of friends who've worked as pharmacy techs for Walgreens because for some reason, like the scene kids, the kids that went to shows, found that as like a, here's a nice place to work that isn't minimum wage when you're starting in school. Mm-hmm. And you have to dress up a little bit, but it's not something, it's not like a tucked in McDonald's t-shirt, you know, it's like, you can wear a lab coat if you want, you can wear, business casual kind of things, but then it paid better than minimum wage too.
Which, I've been doing it now for 20 years. I did 10 years at St. John's. I did a couple years at Memorial.
Yeah.
But, I fell into it. It wasn't like I went to school for it. I eventually had to get certified and and study some for certain things to,
of course,
to get more pay or whatever. But when I see other people at jobs that, like you were saying, where it's like, ugh, like, or you can see they're clearly not happy, but you see that they're bright, like they're no different than I am. Like, why are they, you know? And a pharmacy technician is one of like, or you know, a job like that. I'm like, you know,
could be doing this.
Yeah.
You seem reasonable.
It's not backbreaking. You're not out digging a ditch.
Sure.
You're inside.
I get all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. But then, like, I'm like, it's going to puts me in a difficult spot because, like, getting a job for somebody.
Vouching for somebody.
Yes. That can blow up in your
face. Even friends. Yes, like, I'll hang out with you, but I can't say that you're going to be here every day.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, know, like, I'll put up with your stuff.
It reflects
people put
on
up
you.
With me being late because I'm late everywhere.
Yeah.
But they don't want to be like, come work with me and be late every day. And then they can ask, hey, why's your friend you vouch for late every day?
Even if management doesn't say anything to you, but still you're like, also, you don't know what the other what they're, you know, you being in a band and stuff. Like, I have a buddy who works certain jobs because he wants to be available to play, you know, play with on musicians. The weekends. Musicians and stuff like that.
His career is based around his freedom to do that.
Yes, exactly. So, I try. Like, I've ran into that recently where I'm like, this young kid, like, I can go get a job at the hospital or, you know, at Walgreens, like you were saying. It's like, what are you doing this? Like, you seem bright and stuff like that. But, like, I try to just, you know.
I've had a lot of bad jobs at different varying levels. The one that stands out to me when I think of that particularly is I was a mover for a week. And doing it was such a nightmare. Every person there was like, if you don't have a felony – why are you here?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean that as against people who are reformed or whatever. I just mean, like, I know you can't find a job and they'll take you.
Yeah.
But, like, otherwise, like, these kids were, like, breaking their bodies. And I was in my late 20s probably. And, like, just carrying things they shouldn't, like, going faster than they should for a company. Like, you would go in at 7 in the morning. You'd be there till 7 at night. You didn't get paid unless you were on a truck. Like, you had to get paid to be on the job. So you would go move somebody. For a few hours, come back and hope to catch another truck and move. And I did that for a week and I was like, no, thank you. Like, I will pay my bills any other way but that.
My philosophy on those situations is like, I was working at the hospital one night and one of the housekeeping people that had to, like, I mean, it's a hospital, so you have to haul some
biohazard stuff and things like that.
And I felt really bad for this kid, but he was having a bad, like,
I get it. Yeah.
And just fuck this and goddamn it. And this, in my mind, I wanted to be like, dude, like, let that be your motivation to figure some other path out. Agency is really what I guess it comes down to, is that you at the pharmacy that I worked at St. John's, and like I said, a great experience, worked there 10 years, resigned on my own.
Mm-hmm.
The director there, we were friends. It was amicable.
Sure.
But there'd be people there, 20-year-old technicians that I work with, or 30 or 60 even, where they'd be like, oh, Hector, you need to show me how to say no, because they would get called in. And
work when they didn't want to.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then you'd have to hear them complain at work. And I'm like, this is a business. Like,
Sure.
They're not like, you know, I worked there when I started working overnights there, I knew what that meant. I'm slightly more valuable on an overnight shift because most people don't want to work overnight
shifts. Right.
So I took that into account. I was like, I'm not working on my days off. Like, you can call me. They got the message after a while calling me to come in. I just say no. And it didn't reflect on my evaluations.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It never was brought up. It's like, you should come in on your days off. It never came up. But I would try to tell that to people that would be like, oh, they called me in and I can't say no. Like, that's on you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you worry, like, are they going to give me
bad work
now? Are they going to give me, like, bad schedule or anything?
Right.
Or am I becoming more expendable?
Yeah. Yeah. But then you have to work to make yourself that, like.
Sure. Yeah.
And it did take me a while. I know we kind of walked away from the music game there. But it did take me a while to realize my work, like, your work.
Yeah,
you're like, wait a minute. Like,
and you see people come and go, and you're like, I'm not one of these turnover people. Like,
yes,
I'm
exactly.
here, and I have the knowledge and getting certified. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So that kind of helps you kind of stand up for yourself after a while and know what, like you were saying, Cassie, your boundaries. All right. So back to the game here. So fresh and so clean. And then, like I said, all these songs had a theme. and I'll reveal them. So what do you guys think? So fresh and so clean. Lance, what do you think?
I got 2000.
Okay, Cassie?
2003.
Oh, snap. That song dropped in 2000.
Oh.
So both you guys got dead on one of the songs.
I'm trying to figure out this theme.
Okay, yeah, this is.
I think it's music.
It's not going to be an easy. It's not going to be an easy one. So I'll. The theme was that each one of these songs has punctuation in it.
Oh,
yeah, it has an exclamation point.
Not the way I wrote it.
I Ran So Far Away has parentheses for So Far Away. Whose Bed Has Your Boots Been Under has a question mark. Help has an exclamation point. And So Fresh and So Clean has a comma. So I almost did this without having a theme because I was racking my brain. And I really wanted,
I really wanted
to do this.
I think you'll be able to get away with it if you're like, you know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore trying to find this theme.
Yes. Yeah. I almost did that, but I.
The theme is there are 5 songs and I want you to guess the year.
All right. So
no, that's cool.
I'm going to hit pause in this recording for about a minute so I can tally up the scores.
Are you
going
to tell us now? You wait to the end of the podcast so there's no. Tumultuous, like, so no turmoil.
Oh, you guys, see who gets to take the other person out.
Yeah,
I am gonna pause.
If she kills me before the podcast is over, you know, like,
okay, I'm gonna pause it right, and we're back. So, the Mind Grenade music game, I got the tally. So, you guys both made it to the you guys got there's a gold and a silver on here, and the silver goes to Cassie. Cassie got a plus 12.
Oh. That's
and Lance cool. Won out this one. I think at the beginning of this, you said you were going to not do very well, but you got a plus 5.
Oh, okay. Well.
So golf scoring. So the lower the score is how you win. So, but what I was really impressed with that both you guys got dead on at least one song, which sometimes doesn't happen at all when we do this game.
Makes sense, yeah.
So, yeah, so that was the Mind Grenade music game, and the theme, like I was that each song has punctuation in it somewhere.
Right.
Let's see, what else did I have for you guys before I let you guys go? The Wakery and Anvil and Forge is how I kind of got to know you guys initially. The Wakery has open mic nights. So people who have some experience in comedy, it's a good spot to go to. But also if you guys, it's an open mic, so you guys will take any.
You want to try your first time? Come on out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
at Anvil or The Wakery.
So The Wakery is the open mic's every second Sunday.
It's the second Sunday of every month. Sign up's at 6, and then the show starts at 6:30 or whenever Ryan's ready.
And Lance, when I first caught you, was at the Wakery. I was really impressed.
Thank you so much.
And then Anvil and Forge is every – it's on Wednesdays, right?
Right, second and fourth Wednesday of the month.
And you host that.
I host it, right.
Ryan and Cassie host the Wakery open mics.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Wakery is on 5th Street downtown, on the old Capitol Square there. And, Anvil and Forge is also downtown on Washington Street. What's that? 619 East Washington Street.
Yeah. Right at the corner of like 7th and Washington, pretty much. You're going to be right there.
Yeah. All right. So, you guys want to hype up any, upcoming shows that you guys have?
We have a show together.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The Belly Laugh show on January 20th. And that is at... You're going to have to look.
Yeah, but, I didn't have to look it up.
Tim Laffey puts it on.
Yeah.
Because he moved it pretty recently. It was somewhere else.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. The headliner is Heath. I haven't met him, but I hear he's funny. And then it's going to be hosted by Lou Palomino, who's a comedian in Peoria area. Okay. Yeah.
I just saw for the first time because we went to a show in Peoria 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like amazing, this community, like little hidden world that I didn't know
that's
existed.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that show is the Belly Laughs comedy show on January 20th at 8 p.m. at Laguna Brava, 2466 Wabash Avenue, Springfield, Illinois. They have tickets in advance, or I'm sure you could pay at the door. Cassie Simpson, myself, Lance Kane, hosted by Lou Palomino, and you're saying, here, where's his name on this flyer? What is it?
The headliner was Heath, President.
Yeah, I'm looking for where it says that. Oh, yeah. Heath Thornton.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't met Heath yet either. I did see Lou host a show at Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria with Cassie the other day. Mm-hmm. He was funny, nice guy. We talked to him a bit. So I'm looking forward to the show. I think it'll be fun.
Awesome. Peoria's got to have a pretty decent comedy scene.
It's a bigger town. I know, like... So they have that club as an independent club.
Okay.
Kind of like Jukebox. Donnie B's was here. Yeah. Jukebox Comedy Club. And then there's, I think they have some other stuff. I don't know if they have any franchise clubs there. Like, I started in St. Louis. They have Helium, Funny Bone. Those are all around the country.
Right.
You know, like franchising at McDonald's.
Right, exactly.
But yeah.
Yeah. This will be my first show. Like the first one I did was like, at a bar in Taylor Springs, but it was like a retirement party, and like most of the
show's
bar
a show.
Wasn't listening.
Yeah.
This is like a show.
Nice.
Sure.
So, I'll have all that in the show notes, and this episode I'll be putting up early this week, so probably Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So we'll do some promoting for that.
Well, then Wednesday is the Anvil and Forge open mic if someone happens to listen
on
Tuesday.
Right. Yeah.
This is the second Wednesday, Anvil and Forge downtown.
Awesome.
Sign-ups start at 6.
Yeah.
Show starts around 7. Sometimes we push it back because comedy didn't used to start that early pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
And it takes a while for people to get there from work and things like that.
I love that spot. I went
great
for
place,
my first
great
time.
Atmosphere.
Atmosphere, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Good food. Our open mic at Wakery is the 14th.
And there you go.
Frank,
Trent
real Acosta soon.
Is going to be the headliner.
Oh, yeah. And Frank's funny. Yeah. He's from Peoria.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Anything else, guys, you guys got for before we wrap up this?
You have any other questions? I mean,
we're good to go. For all things Mind Grenade, like a feed of the podcast, my art gallery, they can all be found at mindgrenadestudios.com. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Cassie and Lance saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.